You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Letitia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I am your host for today's show. If you would like to see or hear any of our shows in Spanish, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to our sister show, Expressate. If you'd like to revisit this show or any of our other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It and Expressate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. Have any questions or feedback? We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer free community service training courses, which are open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. You can give us a call at 442-265-7442 to find out about our upcoming classes. You can stay connected with all of Imperial County Behavioral Health's events on Facebook, Spotify, and Instagram. Join our page, follow us, give us a like, a care, or a follow, and we'd love to have you be with us there. So with that said, we have the pleasure of speaking with two of our professional trainers for the Aggression Replacement Therapy training program, which is an evidence-based program that we offer to our clients here at Imperial County Behavioral Health. We have William Murguia and we have Andrew Wills. I'm going to let them introduce themselves because these folks have been around Imperial County Behavioral Health for a while, and they have a long history with us. So let's start off with William.
Hey, good afternoon, Patty. So, yes, my name is William Murguia. I've been with the department since 2007. I started as extra help, and I, you know, was fortunate to, you know, become a year after my extra help year as a full-time mental health rehabilitation technician. I did the case management portion of the job for about, you know, 12 years. Then I was able, you know, within that transition, I also became a behavioral health specialist with the Vista Sands programs. I was allocated in Calexico at the Kennedy Garden School. And from there, I was, you know, fortunate enough as well to become a program supervisor. So I've been a program supervisor for about 6 years now. I was able to work at the outpatient children's clinic at Team 5 here in El Centro. And about two-ish years ago, I was transferred to the Calexico Outpatient Children's Clinic, Team 4 in Calexico. So I've been fortunate enough to serve this community and be part of, you know, enhancing skills and development to, you know, our case managers and our whole disciplines and our teams, from nurses to doctors to therapists and our clerical team. And, you know, like I mentioned, it's been a pleasure. And, you know, I continue growing in this department as we speak. You know, we learn every day. And I'm very fortunate to be trained as a facilitator for the aggression replacement training, which I've been doing for about 10 years now, or a little bit more.
That's a long time. So thank you, William. Thank you for sharing a little bit about yourself. Andrew, would you like to share a little bit about yourself?
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Patricia. My name is Andrew Wells, and I've been working for Imperial County Behavioral Health for over 21 years. I started in 2004 as a rehabilitation technician for the Vista Sands programs. And from that point, I transferred to doing mostly clinical work. And then I ended up transferring back to the Vista Sands program in the Brawley, in the Brawley region, servicing the north end of Imperial County. I had done that for a number of years, and I also had the privilege of being selected as a rehab specialist in order to oversee the Brawley Vista Sands program, where, in that role, I served for 8 years as a rehab specialist. And then, after that, I transferred over to the quality management unit, to oversee the quality, of services that are provided to the substance use disorders, department. So I did that for about 7 months, and now currently I am a administrative analyst, again, still working with the substance use disorders department, and we are overseeing the quality measures that they provide and ensuring compliance with the state regulations, and currently involved in our performance improvement projects for Imperial County, which is very exciting. Yeah, I have also been an aggression replacement trainer for, oh gosh, it would be a little over 10 years now. Yeah, I started doing that in my role as a rehab tech in the Vista Sands program. So yeah,
I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem.
So you guys have lots of experience working with children and in children's programs and in quality management, and you know, as supervisor, you also oversee the quality management of your team. You know, Andrew, you oversee part of the quality management for the department, which is really awesome. So you guys really know your stuff, and you've been here for a long time. So between the three of us, we have a lot of years in the department. And yeah, we do. So and we've known each other for a long time. Maybe not you know, see each other every day, but you know, we've seen our faces, and we've kind of grown with the department. So thank you guys for all your years of service. So we're going to dive into art, and that's what we're here for today. So art is, and I will say it because I actually know it, aggression replacement therapy, art. So why was art developed? What was the need? Where did it start? How did it start?
Well, I can go ahead and get started. So for aggression replacement training was actually developed through the Department of Juvenile Justice. So, and that's really where it has its foundation and its roots. So this was a model that was provided to youth that were in, juvenile detention facilities, and particularly, juveniles that had, difficulties controlling, anger, and which would result in aggression. So that's really how the start of this program became, and then they started noticing, wow, this doesn't just have an application with juvenile justice, and so it's went from there to how we use it now, which is definitely different. I'll let William talk a little bit about that.
Yes, so implementing the aggression replacement training in our Vista Sands programs, that's how we started this model. As Andrew mentioned, it was, you know, initially started with a juvenile, you know, children or youth population. And when we streamlined it to make it work for our population, our children from 7 years to 12 years old in our programs, we are the first, you know, actual, you know, county to reinforce this model to a school-based program. And we were able to manage, working alongside Dr. Oliver, who and Mark Armandala, who were able to, you know, facilitate our training and helped us become, you know, agency facilitators. We were able to implement this model to our children. And we would focus, I mean, the model is based on the components of behavioral, the emotional and the values components. So we were able to reinforce that, integrate that into our, you know, lessons, and the program. And we really saw the change of how this model would regulate, you know, these components to have our children manage their behaviors at home, at school, and in the community. And it's just been wonderful to be able to not only practice this model, implement it to our, you know, consumers, but also be able to train our staff in order to continue reinforcing the skills that this model, you know, offers. It's something very interesting to see how our little ones that are age 7 years old and through 12 years old are able to manage, regulate, and be able to reinforce the skills throughout this 10-week process, which is a 10-week model. And we also aid the parents to reinforce the same, you know, interventions at the home setting.
So, in other words, you train people in our department to be able to put forth this model at the different Vista Sands programs.
So not only at the Vista Sands programs, but we also trained our, you know, case managers to be able to implement the model on a one-on-one basis. So all case managers, that is our goal, to train all case managers across the board, not only in our children's department, but also in youth and young adult department. So the skills are, you know, implemented and you know, applied as we go and work with, you know, our consumers, our clients that would benefit from this model.
And that's super important because you're catching them at an early age when you still have time to modify a behavior. And there's different areas, and I think Andrew and both of you, William, both of you kind of touched on the areas of the components of this training program, which is the social skills, the anger control, and the moral reasoning, which are the areas, the three main areas of this program. And so can we talk a little bit about what social skills or how you help implement these, or and talk a little bit about each one of the components and how what you do to help with the behaviors that are associated with that?
Yeah, definitely. And William, I can go ahead and start and just feel free to jump in with whatever if I miss something. But yeah, the aggression replacement training, like, it's broken down into three components. So it's broken down into skill streaming, which is the individual skills, which teach our kids what to do. And then the second component is the anger control training, which is the emotional component. So that teaches kids what not to do. And then the last portion is the moral reasoning component, or the character traits. So it teaches values that strengthen both of the earlier, the skill streaming and the anger control. It teaches us why we use the skills. And I would say when we start looking at, like, the skill streaming, we're looking at starting our students off with the very beginning. So how to introduce yourself. How to join in on, in a game, how to apologize, how to stand up for yourself in a respectful way, how to avoid, being in fights, or how to use self-control when you feel like you've gotten too happy, too sad, or too angry. One of the things that I really like about this model, this portion of the model, is that it breaks all these different things down into easy to do steps. So when we're talking about introducing ourselves, it's finding the person that we want to introduce ourselves as the first step. And then the second step, us formulating the idea of what we would want to say, how we want to introduce ourselves. and then moving forward into looking for the right time and right place. So teaching the child how to read the room before going and doing something and then acting it out. And of course, this model requires that we not only go over steps, but us as facilitators, we will model it. So we'll act it out for the students first, and then we move into having them show us what they've learned and then practicing it. Now, the outcomes and the like the details related to their role plays are what would be considered in the most ideal circumstance, but it's so that they can start seeing like how positive behavior begins to influence others around them in a positive way, which kind of leads into the anger control, which is, you know, what teaching our kids what happens when they get upset. So learning about their body, learning how their body reacts, and then teaching them how to calm themselves down physically, how to interrupt negative thoughts mentally, and then how to consider the consequences of their action, which I would say, I think William and myself both agree that some of the most profound impacts of this, of doing this training model, is that it was developed and intended for kids that were 12 and above. So since we've been able to take this to children that are in between the ages of 7 and 12, we've been able to teach them how to think ahead and how to plan that the course of their actions. And that's something that's not even considered to be, you know, quote unquote, age development, you know, developmental for their age. So I think that that's been a testament not only to the VistaSans program, but to this model itself. And with that being said, William, what do you take away from some of this stuff? Like what some of the things that you know and with this program as far as with the skill streaming? And was there anything that I missed?
No. You explained it perfectly, Andrew. But you know, it's all about repetition. I feel like especially working with the little ones, when we are reinforcing a skill streaming skill, let's say beginning a conversation, it has four steps, which would be choose the person with whom you want to talk. So they, you know, what they will choose somebody. Step number two, decide what you want to say. They're already thinking what they're going to say. If they're just going to introduce themselves. Step number three, choose a good time and place. You know, we always focus on a good situation, let's say on recess, so they don't interrupt a classroom setting. And four, start talking in a friendly way, and they'll simply introduce themselves. And this is a skill that, you know, a lot of our youth children, they may be lacking. And, you know, when we reinforce this skill, like I mentioned, repetition, of just being repetitive will assist in aiding, you know, them feeling comfortable and grasping the skill and being able to reinforce it again at the home, at the school, and the community. And it's really, it flows really well, especially because since we are working with children, we involve the parents, and the parents get to, you know, model this skill on a one-on-one after we have introduced, educated, and provided the guidance, the proper guidance, of course, to be able to assist their children at home. So, you know, as Andy mentioned, I think, you know, this model is very effective, as yes, it targets youth, but it also can be reinforced for our children. And our skills, we have both skill in the youth model and then on the children model, which I feel is very appropriate and, you know, beneficial. So I've seen, you know, children and families benefit from the angry placement training model. And, you know, it's very insightful just to be able to be part of that change and see a child overcome, you know, that sense of, you know, lacking to start a conversation. And now they master it and they've been able to, you know, make new friends. So it's very, you know, it's very nice and just incredible to see that this model is being reinforced on a day in, day out.
That's really important because you're helping mold these little minds, you know,
Yes. And
helping them give them skills that are not just going to last them through school, but through the rest of their lives. You know, how have people do we know that could have probably benefited from attending an art class or the art 10-week program? That we see even in our lives, not just necessarily here at work, mm-hmm. but that we see in our lives that, you know, have a little bit of problems with, you know, anger control and things like that. So that's really beneficial that you are helping these children. And the other important thing is that you're training the parents too. So they're not just learning it at the program or at school or wherever, but it's being reinforced with the parents, and the parents can help because that model they can use with their own children too. Granted, they're not going to have the skills that you all are training, but the parents can also help implement maybe with their younger ones, and or they'll see their big brothers or, you know, their siblings that are, you know, kind of regulating themselves and maybe getting accolades because of the fact that they're being able to control their impulses and being able to maybe make friends a little bit more easier. And that's just awesome because you're giving them so many skills for their toolbox that'll help them till the end, you know, and that's totally awesome. So with that said, you all, you know, you train the class, you train the case managers. Now, some of these children have case managers, correct?
Correct.
So the case managers continue this training even when they're not in program.
Yes.
That's how that follows.
They also do upon their assessment, you know, they do school visits, school observations. They also work one-on-one with the teacher, the counselor, the school principal, anybody that's being part of the child's life as a support. Most likely the teacher is being, you know, reinforced the skill as well. So it'll be another reminder that, you know, you can practice this skill, whatever skill we're working on towards the, if it's either the skill streaming or the anger control portion, the teacher has provided the skill and he or she are able to implement as a, you know, the skill as a reminder as well in the school setting. And of course, as case managers are meeting with the teachers on a weekly basis, bi-weekly basis, and they're following up on, you know, on the support that they not only have at home, but they also have it at school.
And support that cost, that reinforcement is really what they need, because a lot of times, you know, if it's done in one place and not done in the other, you can kind of tend to forget, especially little minds. I mean, you know, they're small, they're children. So if my child is at one of the schools that you're in, and they are part of the behavioral health system, or the behavioral health, and the school is recommending that they take this program. Is there a cost for any of this, or is there any kind of fees associated or anything like that with any of the with it, this program?
Most of our population, our consumers, you know, have Medi-Cal, so that would be covered. And then if they have private insurance, well, that, you know, works and that, sense. But overall, you know, we are here to provide that support and, you know, the cost, I don't think there's a cost.
Yeah. Usually no barriers to any kind of resources so that anybody can, reach out and request a service. As long as you're, you know, you're being provided the service now, you're part of behavioral health system, then
correct.
We can, right. You know, provide the services that any person needs to be successful in their life. So that's totally terrific. When you train the classes, or you train, because you guys are trainers for trainers, how often do you train the staff to be ART certified?
So I would say that we run about 2 to 3 trainings per year, sometimes more. We have done as many as 4, I believe, in the past. But typically at this point, we we have successfully trained a large number of staff, including some supervisors as well, have also attended our program. So, we typically don't have to train as much anymore. But any time that we get new staff, they are signed up. And as soon as we have a group of eight, whether it's eight new staff or if it is some new, some older staff that would like a refresher, they're also signed up to take the training again, and we assist them with not only how to provide within the model, the framework for the program, but we also do show them and demonstrate how they can provide this model in that one-on-one, with either the parent or the child solo. We are able to do that.
That's terrific because, like you said, new staff come in and they're trained right away so that they can implement this model and that there's no lapse in any kind of training. It's constant. It's constantly being shown. It's reinforced. And the program is there and available to anybody who wants it or who the school may feel that needs it. With that said, we're at the end of our first segment. Our first 25 minutes have flown by. Thank you, William Murguia and Andrew Wells. And we'll be back in just a few minutes in Imperial Valley.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. We thank you for coming back and joining us today on your weekly wellness radio show, Let's Talk About It. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Andrew Wells and William Murguia, and they are both facilitators for the Aggression Replacement Therapy training. These gentlemen have been doing this training for a long, long time, so they were very well-versed in this program and have probably trained, I would say, half the department, if not more, because you guys have been at it for a while. So a lot of the good things that have come from this training, we have to thank these two gentlemen because they have taken this training and trained our department for a very long period of time. So with that said, we're going to dive back into ART, which is the aggression replacement therapy. And so, you know, we talked a lot about a lot of the different components and stuff like that. But one thing that we want to kind of dive into are the core items that the program teaches. So could you guys talk about that?
Yeah, so I can go ahead and go ahead and start. You know, as we mentioned, you know, the components are basically based on the behavior component, the emotional component, and the value component. So we did mention about, you know, our diving into our, you know, bubble talk and then the reinforcement of the model and the repetition. So I do want to say that, you know, this is a social learning theory. So just going into, you know, people learn new behavior through reinforcement. Okay. I need to start all over on that one. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So social learning theory, people learn new behavior through over reinforcement or via observational learning of the social factors in their environment. If people observe positive desired outcomes, the observed behavior, then are more likely to model, imitate, and adopt the behavior themselves. What this means is that, like I mentioned, the model is based on these three components. When we are reinforcing a skill, you know, the modeling and the repetition is what makes it easier for our clients, our consumers, our children to be able to grasp the skill. Let's say we're working into starting a conversation. You know, whenever they modeling the skill or reviewing the steps on a weekly basis, again, the repetition makes it easier the modeling, when we are modeling the skill, this facilitates, you know, that specific component, and we're able to aid the client into just adapting themselves into the session and being able to give examples and be able to follow the skills of the model in a way that it's going to make sense to them, and they're going to be able to learn that component and practice it.
It's really terrific. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. you're training these little minds to really reason, you know, but that's super important. You know, that's a skill that you will use for the rest of your life.
Right.
So what other, I think, Andrew, you were going to say something, or you had?
Yeah. It's piggybacking off of what William had said, which is, you know, us talking about the social learning theory, because it also goes both ways, right? That we're for the skill streaming, we're teaching the children how to adopt a new skill. And so for the anger control portion, which is the middle portion of the model, we're trying to assist the children to unlearn some behaviors. So, and again, that kind of goes back into the social learning. They may have observed some negative behaviors and observed them being successful, you know, so like, you know, intimidating a peer by giving threatening behavior, even using aggression, you know. If they've seen that person who used the aggressive behavior was able to get their needs met, then that child that watched that happen is more like, oh, maybe this is something that I should do. So that's when we start moving into that middle portion, teaching them what not to do. We start to teach them about their stream of consciousness, that they're always thinking about things and about about their environment, you know, whether it's about their desk or it's about their friends, or whatever it might be about, but they're always thinking about something. And, we're kind of teaching them about that process. We have a way of thinking about things, something that's unique and special to us. And it's not just about the content of what we think about, but the way that we think about the things that we are, that we're seeing and we're experiencing. So then we start looking into teaching the kids about the difference between rational and irrational beliefs, you know, and at that point where we start helping them test, like, what is rational? What is irrational? Then we start looking into that portion, which is the cognitive restructuring. So we start learning, we start teaching them new ways of how to think about problems. And the way that we do that is through bubble talk, which is where we, during the role play portion, the child will then pull out the things that they would think about, you know, related to something that's caused them to get angry or upset. And in the way that their mind is actually saying that inside. So then we start teaching them about how some of the things that we think about problems, how it ends up making problems worse. So then we start teaching them about how to talk to themselves about problems. So how to be one of the key things that we work with staff and with the students on is just being a good coach. You know, when you make, you know, we self-coach all the time and we're not aware of it, but no one has fond memories of a negative coach that they've had throughout their life. You know, the coach that would get upset or maybe even say unkind things to the members of the team, you know, and, you know, the kids are like, yeah, we know, like, that's bad. You know, it's not a good way to talk. But then, you know, we bring it out that, You know, this is a lot of times the way that we talk to ourselves. We tell ourselves very derogatory things when we try something for the first time and we're not successful. Or something doesn't go as planned, you know, and we take a lot of, like, it's my fault, I'm bad. Like, and so that's a part of how we start shaping that bubble talk, that inner speech. We start teaching them, like, no, it's not, you know, we're not saying negative things to ourselves. We're just going to, we're going to point out what happened that didn't go so well. And then we're going to make a plan on how we're going to change that in the future. So taking them out of that regret mindset and into an action and future mindset. So, and I know there's some other things related to bubble talk that we do, and that, I'm going to turn that back over to William to talk a little bit about how we work with bubble talk with our students and our staff.
Yeah, so the way we would integrate, you know, our bubble talk would be in one of our lessons. So let's say we're doing the lesson, which would be a skill, it would be skill 40, staying out of fights. We would model the skill, we would introduce the skill, but let's say when it comes to, you know, having the students practice the skill and implement the bubble talk, we go over the steps. So for staying out of fights, you know, they may have a scenario that they got pushed out in the playground. So what would be step number one? It would be stop and count to 10. So the way we integrate the bubble talk is that what they tell themselves. And this would be an example of them practicing their thinking out loud. And they would, you know, put their fingers on their forehead, near their head, on the side of their head, and they would count to 10. 1, 2, 3. You know, all calm and until they get to number 10. And, you know, that is the first step, you know, stop and count to 10. Somebody push me, so I need to count calmly, right? So they're practicing their bubble talk. Step number two would be decide what the problem is. Again, they would practice their bubble talk. They would put their fingers near their forehead, touch their head, and they would say, my friend pushed me. This student pushed me. Step number three would be think about your choices. So on the lesson, on this skill step, it gives you three options. You could either A, walk away for now, B, talk to the person in a friendly way, C, ask someone for help in solving the problem. So in this case, you know, they would choose their best choice, practice their bubble talk, and say it out loud. For the, you know, for this example, they would probably choose number A, walk away for now. So they would say that. I'm going to walk away. And four, step number four would be act your best choice, which would be walk away for now. And they would say this out loud while practicing their bubble talk. And then that's what we want to see, them acting their best choice. And in this particular scenario, whenever they do their modeling and their role play, they would, you know, end the role play in a positive way, which would be walking away while at the same time practicing their bubble talk. And that's what we want them to practice, you know, in a real life scenario. Of course, they're not going to talk out loud, but they're going to talk to themselves, which this would be the bubble talk, in order to avoid, you know, acting on impulse or, you know, getting into an actual fight. So we're reinforcing the positive behavior in this case.
Wow, that is so interesting, because you're teaching them how to pause and take 10 and just Correct. Figure it out, you know, not act impulsively, not be your reactive self.
Yes.
You know? And that is, like I said earlier, and I keep on saying it, that's a skill that they're going to have for the rest of their lives. You know, once you learn that skill, you can use it. You know, and I really see this is great in the school, because it, you know, it helps stop maybe the fighting or the answering back to the teacher or whatever, but this will carry on into everything. I mean, you know, like if they feel that their parent yelled at them or something like that, instead of yelling right back, you take those 10 seconds or the count to 10, I should say, and you stop and you think, okay, how can I deal with this better, more effectively? Or can I turn around and walk away, or can I say something that's positive instead of, you know, getting in that fight and, you know, who can scream the loudest and who can, you know, fight the hardest kind of thing. And this is really important because the parents are also being shown this.
Yes. And we want to avoid the power struggles, and the same skill will be reinforced at home. You know, if their siblings are, they're bothering them, or they're just not wanting to complete a chore, a task, homework, anything that's going to cause them to, you know, either talk back or not listen to the parents. So they're always going to be reinforcing, you know, their bubble talk and their self-awareness and their self-control, and at all costs, you know, stay out of fights or stay out of the, you know, discussion or talking back to their parents. So at the end of the day, you know, the skills that are reinforced, they're going to be practiced. That is our goal, that they are practiced at the home, at the school, and outside whenever they're, you know, in the community, at a store, at a parade, at an event, at a birthday party, that they are, the kids are able to handle themselves and be able to practice self-control, and just act, you know, in their best behavior at all times.
Yeah, I definitely, going back to what you had said, Patricia, that, these aren't just skills for the schoolyard. You know, it's not just for the playground. You know, there's plenty of skills that deal with, scenarios that would happen in the home, like your parent being upset, coming home upset from work, and you as a child are seeing your parent, you know, struggle with those emotions and how you would deal with it. And so the skill that's there is skill 32. It's dealing with someone's anger. And so it breaks it down. Listen to what the person has to say. Then think about choices. Should you keep listening? Should you ask them why they're angry? You can give the person an idea to fix the problem, or you can walk away for now. And then acting out whatever your best choice is in, you know, out of A, B, C, or D. So yeah, no, it's a great, it has so many applications.
Yeah, definitely. And like I keep saying, this is a skill that they're going to take with them for the rest of their lives. And I can't believe it. We have come to the end of the second segment. That 15 minutes just flew. So Imperial Valley, we're going to take a brief break, and we will be right back in a few minutes with Andrew Wells and William Bourguier. We're talking about ART, which is aggression replacement therapy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXORadio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. This is our third segment that we are talking with William Murguia and Andrew Wells. They are trainers in the aggression replacement therapy. These guys have been training for a lot of years and, you know, have trained a good lot of the people here at Behavioral Health. And they even have, you know, students that they've had that have gone on, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. But, you know, there's a third section to ART, and that is the moral reasoning section of it. So would you guys care to discuss a little bit more about it?
Sure, Patricia. So for the moral reasoning component, you know, what we think of when we hear that, it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of a heavy, it's kind of a heavy title, right? You know, we're talking about the moral development of children, right? So, what we're actually doing is what this section is titled. What we're doing is we're pulling out, and we're at this point, we're shining a spotlight on the amazing character traits that all the children that are inside of our programs have. So the idea is that, you know, most children are born with these automatic responses, like things like empathy or bravery, compassion, honesty. And sometimes they're underdeveloped, and sometimes they're overdeveloped. It just really depends on the child that we're working with. But that's what this third component is for. You know, this third component shines that spotlight on it, and we look at it kind of in a new way. So what we're doing is we're going to be – we take our trait, and we would define it for the kids. We would then maybe even talk about like a brief story about when this thing, you know, happened. And then we would then reflect it back onto them so that they could give examples of times where they used that skill. And, you know, we're doing this to cultivate this, you know, this group where people are sharing about the positive things that they've done, and the positive things that they're planning on doing in the future. So, and in this portion, the kids really guide that, that positivity and that discussion within the group. So, we're just encouraging the students that may not have experience with that just to examine the topic and their own behavior, but in a way that it's relatively benign. So it's not saying like, oh, why haven't you done this? Or, oh, you haven't done it. It's more just like, oh, this is something to do. This is something that I can do. So it's a way of looking at this skill without causing them to shy away from it. So yeah, we take the skill, we take the trait, and we define it. And then we might watch a video and the kids may draw a picture about that character trait, or they might even write a story. Just depends on how the child feels, what they feel like they would like to do. And then we share that in front of the class with everyone so that everyone gets their time to share and talk a little bit about the last time that they practiced it. So, and again, it's that whole social learning model, going back to what William had talked about before. So we're all watching. We're all watching each other share about these positive stories, and it gets us thinking about the next thing that might happen so that we can respond in a positive way. So it's great. I mean, there's so many different, I think, skills that we've went over, character traits. But it's, I would say one of my favorite ones is things like bravery, you know, and the idea that what bravery is and what it isn't, you know, as far as a lot of times kids think that being brave is just a way that you are, but bravery is where it's most commonly found is when you're not feeling brave at all, you know, and you do something that, you know, is right, that should happen, even though you feel like you can't do it. And I think that a lot of the times, I know when we would go over that skill in the class, the kids would be really surprised that bravery isn't just something that you're innately born with, you know, that you just do automatically, and some people are brave and some people are not. Those are some of my favorite times, I think, working in the program, especially with that component of the model. And yeah, the model looks a little bit different as you get older. We start talking about like actual problem scenarios, and kids in the class will kind of problem solve, inside that. So like things like what happens if you're with your close friend and your close friend, you know, has an idea to do something that's not okay, you know, and how you respond to that. And looking at, you know, there's going to be members of the group that kind of feel a little bit indifferent towards it. Like, oh, well, maybe that's not a big deal. And then the members of our group that might feel like, no, that's totally unacceptable. And getting everyone to talk without it being a time where people would get heated or upset with each other. So yeah, definitely, one of my favorite components of the model. And it really just ties in what we had talked about in the two prior days in the week, where we went over a skill of what to do so that we can be using self-control, and then how to avoid losing our self-control when we get upset, which is the second day. And then, you know, the benefits of, you know, our character and improving our integrity and our reputation so that we can, we begin to be the people that we want to be and the people we want to be seen as.
Yes. And to add to that, Patricia, you know, when we are reinforcing defining the skills such as, you know, in this case, honesty, let's say this week we're going to talk about honesty. That's a character trait that, you know, a lot of students, children that we work with are working on a day by day, you know, at home, school, and they get to practice. We give them examples after we define what honesty, you know, is, because their children may have another, you know, idea of what honesty looks to them, you know. But whenever we explore, let's say, being honest at home, you know, completing your chores, you know, just being honest if you, you know, maybe took a toy away from your brother, your sister at school, you know, being honest about not completing the schoolwork or the homework, or even if they decide to, you know, act on impulse out in recess, you know, they're being honest and accepting consequences for their actions. So it's just being able to define and have them, you know, explore, you know, what honesty means to them is really important. And after we, you know, have them watch a video on honesty, you know, it really gives them a different perception of, you know, what the skill of this character trait is. So it's very important to reinforce the more reasoning to the little ones, as you know, they're going to continue, you know, just enhancing their development and how they feel, think, and act. So, you know, once they master what bravery is, what honesty is, what being empathetic, and, you know, just being able to handle themselves, you know, takes them a long way. So
the key to this is early intervention.
Of course. Right. Yes, it is.
And that's what we want to do. And that's why we're focusing on the little folks that are 7 to 12 years old in the schools. And one thing I don't think I asked this. What schools are you in? I didn't ask that earlier. I'm sorry.
So for the Calexico district, the Visa Sense program is located at Kennedy Gardens Elementary. I know in El Centro, it's the school that has the program would be De Anza Elementary, and Andy, and Brawley.
Yeah, and Brawley, it's still at Oakley Elementary.
Yeah, and so these are the schools that where people can, not just the folks of those schools, but children from other schools,
right,
are bussed in to the Vista Sands program.
Correct.
So not just because you're not part of, was it Oakley, De Anza, or Kennedy Gardens, can you not benefit from this intervention? Because folks, or little folks that are in other schools, as long as they're identified as being potential students of Vista Sands, can benefit from this program. Okay. My apologies for not having asked that earlier, because I just thought about it right now. So, you know, we've talked about all this. We've talked about all the you know, how long you guys have been doing this and providing this intervention for the folks of Imperial County Behavioral Health as Evidence-Based Treatment Program. I know you guys have some stories. So, and we kind of talked about a little bit about it during the break. But would you, since we're at the last few minutes of our show, would you care to leave us with at least one or two stories, and then we'll give our contact information at the end and we'll end our show?
Yeah,
definitely.
So of course. So I really, you know, have this story, you know, some time ago, of course, being within the department for many moons, you know, our when I started working at the programs, you know, you work with so many children that now are adults. So my story is that I ended up one day stopping for gas, and as I was doing my business, you know, at the store getting some, you know, snacks, you know, this law enforcement officer, you know, approached me and he said, "Excuse me, are you William?" And I just, you know, I looked at him. Obviously, I, you know, this is an adult, you know, law enforcement officer, and I didn't really know who he was. But once he said his name and he mentioned, you know, all the amazing things we did with him, we worked with him, and, you know, he just started, you know, bringing back stories. I'm like, whoa. Like, you were 12 years old, 11, 12 years old when I first worked with you. And it was just amazing hearing him out and knowing that he still practices the skills. There's this specific skill within the anger control model, which is thinking ahead. That is one of the weeks. And he just mentioned, you know, "I still practice my thinking ahead. And, you know, I remember you guys were being very supportive and very nice. And, you know, I still remember when I attended the program." So those are just, you know, amazing, you know, situations that Andy and myself, you know, we both have stories, and it's just, it brings us back and it grounds us to know that we are making a difference in a lot of people's lives. Seeing an adult that once attended the program, you know, of course it made me feel a little bit old, but, it was just nice. It was very nice. And, you know, outside of that, we get to work with even, clients that are now adults and have their children, and they bring, you know, their children to our clinics. And, you know, it's amazing to see that, you know, they have that faith, that they believe in our agency, and that we continue, you know, making a difference, not only to those, you know, children that were once part of our programs, but now they entrust us with their children. So it's just amazing to be able to witness that, you know, nowadays.
And that's good. It makes you warm your heart. And I know we continue to do what we do because we love our jobs.
Of course.
And we love the people that we work with. And we wouldn't have been doing it for so many years if we didn't.
Exactly.
So, you know, I thank both of you, for all your effort and energy and, you know, for helping frame the lives of some of these little ones, because that's proof positive right there with your story, how this person took this information, used it, and it grew with him through his life.
Yes.
Made him, you know, helped make him the person that he is today. So with that said, I will give you our numbers. Our toll-free 1-800, or toll-free after hours and normal hours number is 1-800-817-5292. If you would like to become a client or need to access our services, our number is 442-265-1525, and you can call us at those numbers to access services. With that said, I would like to give my thanks to Andrew Wells and William Murguia for taking the time today to talk to us about the aggression replacement therapy. Hopefully you can share this podcast with somebody that you think may need it. Thank you, Imperial Valley, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.